first reading is written in the book of the prophet Ezekiel. The word of the Lord came to me, "Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. So hear the word I speak and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, 'O wicked man, you will surely die,' and you do not speak out to dissuade him from his ways, that wicked man will die for his sin, and I will hold you accountable for his blood. But if you do warn the wicked man to turn from his ways, and he does not do so, he will die for his sin, but you will have saved yourself." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read Psalm 119, verses 33 through 40 responsively. "Teach me, O Lord, to follow your decrees. Then I will keep them to the end.
Give me understanding, and I will keep your law and obey it with all my heart.
Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight.
Turn my heart toward your statutes and not toward selfish gain.
Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word.
Fulfill your promise to your servant so that you may be feared.
Take away the disgrace I dread, for your laws are good.
How long for your preserve my life in your righteousness.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen."
The second reading is written in the Epistle of St. Paul to the Romans. "Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and he will commend you. For he is God's servant to do you good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it's necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also because of conscience. This is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. Let no debt remain outstanding, except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. The commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandment there may be, are summed up in this one rule: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. Matthew, the 18th chapter. Jesus is speaking, and he says, If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over. But if he will not listen, take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, treat him as you would a pagan or a tax collector. I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there am I with them. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. So what's all the fuss? What's all the fuss? I'm all for reconciliation. But come on. Come on. Of course, if someone sins against me, I should go to that one and see if we can settle it just between us, the two of us. But to have to do that again and again and again with the same person? Excuse me? If we fail the first time, you know, I'm willing to say that's the way it goes. Life is hard. The world is a difficult place. I'm content with that, but not Jesus. Not Jesus. If you can't settle it, he says, then take two or three others along with you and try again. And if that doesn't work, tell it to the whole assembly of the believers in hopes of settling it. And if that doesn't work, let that one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Well, that's a whole lot of fuss. That's a whole lot of fuss. Especially since we have relationships being fractured all the time. All the time. It doesn't take a whole lot to sin or be sinned against in this world. Even Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, says, if you are so much as angry with your brother or your sister, you are liable to judgment. Angry. Easy to be angry, right? If you insult your brother or sister, you are liable to the council. It's really easy to hurl insults. Even if you call someone a raka, which is Aramaic for you moron, you moron, if you go so much as say you moron to someone, you're liable to the hell of fire. Imagine, on any given day, in traffic, in San Diego, just imagine it. The air is blue out there during rush hour. Come on. In fact, it is quite easy for us to break relationship, which is what we're talking about. Easy to break relationship, especially in our society that is so individualistic and so atomized and so disposable anyway. We throw away everything, even people. Easy to break relationship in our society. If there is something about a current relationship that you don't like, if there's something that no longer pleases you, if there's something in a relationship that is just too much trouble, get a new relationship. Like you would get a new car, or a new house, or a new pair of shoes. No fuss
at all?
None at all. Well, Jesus makes a fuss. In fact, Jesus insists on a fuss, and here's why. Two reasons. The first one is, he says, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. This is known to us Lutherans from Luther's Small Catechism as the keys of the kingdom, or the office of the keys. Office of the keys comes from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16. It has an even older rabbinic background, a deeply rooted concern for what gives life and integrity to the community, okay? And what takes life and integrity away from the community. Deep, deep concern. In biblical thinking, there are two really awful things that can happen to you. The first is to be cut off from God, and the next worst thing is to be cut off from the community. The community is that important. The fabric of any human community is strengthened, of course, when the relationships between the people in it are strong. That makes sense, right? And the fabric of a human community is weakened when the relationships between people are broken in any way. So every member of the community has a responsibility to preserve the life and integrity of the community by restoring relationships that have fractured. Okay? Everyone in the community, there are no exceptions, no one gets out, each individual is responsible for the life and integrity of the community by restoring the relationships that have been fractured, to bind wounds or to loose fetters so that the community may be whole again. It's that important. It's that important for our life. To boil it down even more simply, how we treat one another as people of God and how we treat one another even beyond the people of God matters. It matters because, and here's the second reason, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. You all know this verse, a very famous verse, there I am among them. Our relationships become a place where Jesus is, not next to the relationships, in the relationships, becomes a place where Jesus is. And who is Jesus in Matthew's Gospel? He is God with us. Emmanuel, that's where the name occurs in the New Testament, is in Matthew's Gospel. He is Emmanuel, God with us. So that our relationships become a place where God's own self is. God resides in our relationships. They are the temple, the new temple. Are our relationships with each other. That's a great deal. And if our relationships become fractured, if they become broken, if they become shattered and remain unmended, will God be present there any longer? That's what's at stake. Will God be present? Since God resides in our relationships, if our relationships are broken, will God be in them any longer? The reason for all the fuss, if I must know, is the presence of God among us. A huge thing, the presence of God among us. It's one of the origins of the custom of sharing the peace before we come to the communion table. It's one last opportunity to ensure that if there are any fractures in the community, that those are mended before we come to the table where the risen one is with us. That's where it comes from. That's at least one of the strong origins of that custom. So that the fabric of the community can be intact. And of course, Jesus being the sneaky guy that he is, and he is sneaky. This is not just about reconciling with the easy people, the people we like anyway, the people we get along with anyway, the people who agree with our point of view and that we get along with and everything else. It isn't just about reconciling with the easy people, it's also about reconciling with the hard people. the people we can't stand, who drive us up a wall that we don't agree with about anything and who don't see anything the same way that we do. It's about the hard people as well. Let those who will not listen to the assembly even be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector, Jesus says, which sounds for all the world like a brush off, right? A brush off of the hard people. If they're too difficult, just be done with them and let them go and don't worry about it. That's what it sounds like, and that's the way we've used it in the history of the church. We've used that as our out to get rid of those troublesome folk. Except for one thing, and this is where Jesus is being sneaky. Okay? Who are the Gentiles and the tax collectors in Jesus' ministry? They're the people he hangs out with the most. They're the people he is absolutely determined to gather into the kingdom. Right? Sneaky guy. Far from being an excuse to give up, Jesus hands us a challenge never to give up. Never, never, never to give up, just as God in Christ Jesus resolutely refuses to give up on us. Just won't give up on us. Take and eat, God says yet once more this morning. Take and drink, God says yet once more this morning. Come and live, God says, yes, once more, and again, and again, and again, and again. Such a fuss. Such a fuss. Let everyone say amen. I invite you to join in singing our hymn of the day, hymn 126, Where Charity and Love Prevail, and I invite you to stand to sing.